We continue in our series, our fall series, and today the scripture lesson is Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans 12, the entire chapter. Before we read it and listen, let us pray together. Almighty God, may your word come now in power and in spirit, sealed by your Holy Spirit, a gift of your grace, and that in your word we might see the word made flesh, Jesus the Christ. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Romans chapter 12. Hear the word of God. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, on the basis of God's mercy, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable act of worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all members have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the encourager in encouragement, the giver in sincerity, the leader in diligence, the compassion in cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Pursue hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be arrogant, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink, for by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord. It occurs to me that we would likely be hard-pressed to find two verses of Scripture that have more variation in the translations and the paraphrases than Romans 1 to 2. He says with 1, 2, 3, 4 Bible scholars sitting in the room. That was evident Wednesday morning as our small group read from the different versions of the Bible being used in the virtual room where we met. The variations seem to reflect an attempt to understand what the Apostle Paul means by present your bodies as a living sacrifice and your reasonable act of worship and being transformed rather than conformed. I don't have time to offer many for your hearing, many of those variations. But I invite you to do a search this week on the device of your choice. The New Revised Standard Version, which we heard, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, on the basis of God's mercy, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable act of worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. An English translation commissioned by the Church of Scotland, 1964. Therefore, my brothers, I implore you by God's mercy to offer your very selves to God, a living sacrifice, dedicated and fit for God's acceptance, the worship offered by mind and heart. Adapt yourselves no longer to the pattern of this present world, but let your minds be remade and your whole nature thus transformed. Then you will be able to discern the will of God and to know what is good and acceptable and perfect. And perhaps the most recently published translation can be found in New Testament scholar Dr. Beverly Gaventa's hot-off-the-press commentary on the Book of Romans. Gaventa's translation, "So I urge you by God's mercies, brothers and sisters, to present your bodies as a sacrifice that is living, holy, and pleasing to God. That is your reasonable service. And do not be shaped by this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind that you will discern God's will for you, the good, pleasing, and fully mature. Do not be shaped by this age. Adapt yourselves no longer to the patterns of this world. Do not be conformed." And the gift of the 12th chapter of Romans, the whole chapter, why we read the whole chapter, the gift and the wisdom of the Apostle Paul is that he continues in the chapter to describe for the reader what it looks like. A life transformed, a life of reasonable service, a life of sacrifice that is living, holy, and pleasing to God. While translators and scholars attempt to help you and me wrap our heads and hearts around some of Paul's vocabulary in the first two verses, Paul launches into practicalities. Paul paints a picture with words. Paul tells the church at Rome and the church ever since, here's what it looks like. Or as Dr. Gaventa puts it, following the summons with its depiction of life as radical sacrifice, Paul goes on to promote an understanding of that life in terms of shared generosity made possible by divine gift and characterized by love. A life in terms of shared generosity made possible by divine gift and characterized by love. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think. So we who are many are one body in Christ, ministering, teaching, encouragement, sincerity, diligence, and cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Interestingly, after the first two verses, there's a remarkable consistency across translations and paraphrases for the rest of the chapter, for the nuts and bolts. Paul to the church at Rome and the church ever since, this is what it looks like. When I was in college a long time ago, an itinerant campus preacher came to visit our Christian fellowship group on Friday night. And the next day, Saturday morning, a few of us went with this preacher, left Cambridge and went to the University of New Hampshire. When I describe him as an itinerant campus preacher, what I mean is that he would show up on a campus somewhere, find an outdoor central place of student traffic, and just start preaching. His goal was to get people to engage with him, to talk back to him, and even to argue with him. He was a forerunner of the open forum political debates that are popular on college campus today with a religious evangelistic twist. Even though I was in a different place in my theological journey way back then, I did feel a call to ministry and preaching way back then as well. But I still found it shockingly strange. I found it a shockingly strange way to try to share the gospel of Jesus by means of picking an argument with people. Picking a fight instead of showing someone with your life what being a disciple of Jesus Christ looks like. Of course, if we're honest about the tradition, about the history, about the church, in absolutely every generation, in every season, the followers of Jesus, the church, denominations of every persuasion, congregations of every kind, could learn, should learn a whole lot from Paul and the rest of Romans 12. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in the Spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Pursue hospitality to strangers. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be arrogant, but associate with the lowly. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. A life of shared generosity, made possible by divine gift and characterized by love. Our theme for this week in the fall small groups and adult education, this week's theme is social gospels and smaller tents. In looking to the evangelical movement in the first half of the 20th century, this morning Dr. Heath Carter in adult ed pointed to the conflict between the ecumenical effort across denominations and theologies working to serve the common good and improve equality for all people, the conflict with that to serve the common good and improve the equality of all people, and those looking to draw boundaries and claim the right kind of Christianity. Professor Carter's use of the metaphor of smaller tents is a reference to the beginning of an ongoing obsession for so many in Christianity about who is in and who is out, who is right and who is wrong, who is a proper believer and who is not. And the history tells that the arguments and the language and the vitriol were as heated and unchristian in the early and mid-20th century as they are today, especially in this town and in this church. It seems to me that the lasting focus in the Christian tradition on who is in the tent and who is out of the tent could not be in a greater conflict with the last 19 verses of Romans 12. The lasting focus in the Christian tradition on who is in the tent and who is out of the tent could not be in a greater conflict with the last 19 verses of Romans 12. And at the end of the day, isn't the persistent longing for smaller tents and more and thicker boundary lines inconsistent with lives of shared generosity made possible by divine gift and characterized by love? Or to say it another way, how often does the intramural nastiness in the Christian world distract from and diminish the call of the gospel of Jesus Christ, understood in Paul's language as, let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good, contribute to the needs of the saints, pursue hospitality to strangers, do not be arrogant, but associate with the lowly, do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink, and do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. As the infuriating inaction, incompetence, and feckless behavior of elected officials in Washington has led to lost jobs, lost pay, and now lost SNAP benefits for food for upwards of 42 million of our fellow citizens, including what must be a terrifying number of children, I found myself drawn again this week to the very last paragraph of Princeton University professor and Nassau Church family member Matt Desmond's book, Evicted, poverty and profit in the American city. Professor Desmond's captivating sociological study of eviction rates and predatory landlord practices is chilling. But this week, his last paragraph is a prophetic, relevant lament about a whole lot more. Matt Desmond concludes his book, quote, "Whatever our way out of this mess, one thing is certain. This degree of inequality, this withdrawal of opportunity, this cold denial of basic needs, this endorsement of pointless suffering, by no American value is this situation justified. No moral code or ethical principle, no piece of scripture or holy teaching can be summoned to defend what we have allowed our country to become." End quote. I wonder how the Church of Jesus Christ has any time to be picking fights when there's so much gospel work to do. Picking fights instead of showing the world what the life of discipleship looks like. The body of Christ not conformed to this world, but transformed to live a life of shared generosity made possible by divine gift and characterized by love. In Romans 12, the Apostle Paul paints a picture with words describing for his readers, for the church, for you and for me, a life transformed, a life of reasonable service, a life of sacrifice that is living, holy, and pleasing to God. Here's what it looks like. And Jesus, our Savior, shows us with his teaching, his life, his death, and his resurrection. He shows us way beyond words. Jesus said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Jesus said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood for the forgiveness of sins. Every time you drink it, do it in remembrance of me." Come, people of God. This is what it looks like. Thanks be to God.